It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Just awareness, I think, overall, and again, sometimes the ball finds you, sometimes it doesn't. Game plan to game plan. I know you guys love to talk about, look at the stat sheet and says who hasn't gotten the ball and who has, and then we get so enamored with that. It's the ball finds the guy that it's supposed to find, and the game plan has to help with that. But there's also a defense out there that sometimes determines where the ball is going to fall, right? Playing and play out, or in this case, pass to pass. So you start pushing it, you start stressing over it. Awareness is important in this case, but overall, the ball is going to go where it's meant to go, and that's really how really good offenses work and decision-making by the quarterback. And Josh has done a real good job to this point.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. There's a lot in there. That's a lengthy, nuanced. It's not quite a two-word slogan everybody eats. It might be the opposite, what he says there. I've decided that everybody eats is now eating itself. Because the head coach, the ball goes where it's supposed to go. Sometimes defenses dictate that, funnel it someplace. You know, like, I mean, that's not a, we're trying to spread it around. It was a question about maybe Curtis Samuel getting more touches, which Joe Brady said he wants to get Curtis Samuel more touches. Mm-hmm. Like, first it was Kincaid more involved, now it's Samuel more involved. You know, like, listen, they want to do whatever they can do to be the best offense they can. There's no doubt about that. And that's all McDermott cares about, right? Be the best offense you can with the pieces you've got. I mean, Brady spreading it around, he might think that's his best plan to get there, but McDermott might be a little bit more cut and dry of how many points you're putting up. I don't care if you throw 100 passes to Khalil Shakir in a game or if it's 10 to 5 different guys, but whatever you do to put up points, that's your job. You know, get it done. Get me points.
Hearing that comment also does make me think about Kincaid a lot and how Joe Marino told us yesterday, like, there is a lot of attention being paid to him off the ball when he's out there running routes over the middle of the field. Like, he is, again, part of this is in the second halves of two games, they have not been throwing the football. So his numbers are going to be deflated a little bit. But he is on pace right now for 77 targets, which is 14 fewer than he had last year. It's actually fewer, it's about the same amount of receptions that he had last year. Yards down, touchdowns, I guess, 1 versus 2, so it's like whatever there. But that's, again, score impacts that, but he's been okay, he's been pretty good. I want to know if that is somebody that you can get the ball to and can be an impact, regardless of what how the defense plays him. McDermott talking about the defense there. Like, one thing that's almost a pet peeve of mine that you hear on broadcast a lot is, hey, just take what the defense is giving you. Like, why would I want to do that all the time? Because I'm doing what the defense wants. If the defense wants to give me this, then I don't want to do that. If they're not giving me the Kincaid plays, I still want Kincaid involved in the offense. I still want him to be an impact player because, you know, we talked in the first hour about how rare it is for the top tight ends to really be game breakers like that, but I'm still holding out hope that Kincaid can be one of those guys. That's such a matchup nightmare that you can pay all the attention you want to him. He's still going to be involved.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline to recap yesterday's day down at One Bills Drive with all these media day interviews as we prepare for the Texans, Bills and Texans. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
What'd you take away from McDermott? That comment, other comments? I mean, it seems like, a big loss. A loss will bring out maybe more attention. I don't think Bills fans are freaking out or anything like that. But whatever, it shines a light on a couple things that went wrong. And McDermott talking about the offense right there, or Joe Brady talking about the offense. What's your takeaway?
I just think it's a lot of, generalizing, coach speak, because you're trying not to really give away anything strategically or put the focus on any one individual. That's just how they generally operate. I mean, they have this philosophy of, you get the ball to who you get the ball to, and we move down the field, and that's what matters. As you just said, that's what he cares about. I think Joe Brady's the same way. But of course, when Joe Brady's asked about, hey, here's Curtis Samuel, he hasn't been involved, he's not going to say, well, yeah, that's the game plan. We're not going to get involved. Hey, it's my job to get him more touches. It's my job to figure that out. He's a good player. You probably could say that about anybody, right? Well, Dalton Kincaid, yeah, I got to scheme him open better to, get him away from some of that stuff, because he's a big part of it. So I don't read necessarily anything into it other than, hey, whatever it takes to move the ball down the field is what it takes to move the ball down the field. This isn't about how we have to get it to one guy specifically or what we're, in that regard. It's if one guy has 10 catches, one guy has 10 catches. If somebody has zero catches, somebody has zero catches. But if we're moving the ball down the field, that's what matters.
You know, one thing about this whole shift for the Bills, and whether it's if it's stereotyping or, kind of guessing narratives, the idea of this group is they won't have anyone that will rock the boat and feel like they need to be more involved, right? Mm-hmm. That's really what this is, whether that's Kincaid or Dawson Knox or Curtis Samuel. There seems to be a general feeling, though, that Samuel is the number one guy here to get more involved, because his contract indicates that they believed he'd be part of their game plan, right? Kincaid and Shakir, they've been here before. We know what they do. The newest additions are Coleman and Curtis Samuel. And we've seen Coleman. He's being brought along. He's getting his targets. And Samuel's the one that still seems like it's not quite matching up yet.
Yeah, so I'm still wondering, about that, why that hasn't happened yet. And, that was kind of the reason why Joe Brady was asked. I mean, here we are, three games into the season, and you guys have the numbers there. So we look, Curtis Samuel is, 8 catches, 48 yards, four games in. It's just not, I think, how they planned it when they signed him. It doesn't seem like it is. I'd be surprised. I mean, they paid him $8 million a year. He had his best pro career when he's with Joe Brady and that offense in Carolina in 2020. It doesn't seem like that's the case. There's been nothing about the toe injury necessarily impacting him. He's not on the injury report at all. I still wonder, turf toe is a tough injury for a wide receiver. There's no doubt about it. But I haven't seen anything like that. The snap counts aren't super high. They're, to me, not high enough for a guy that you probably thought you'd be incorporating into your offense more. So those are the questions and why it's being asked to Joe Brady. So it's really interesting. And you're right about, having guys who won't rock the boat. I'll say it this way, too, though. It's not necessarily even outwardly rocking the boat. Did you read the Jeremy Fowler piece on Stephon Diggs yesterday?
I did.
Yes, yep.
We did.
Very interesting. So I think you're right, Jeremy, how you say it, but I think that it's also an internal kind of feeling and pressure sometimes. It's not just outwardly. It's not like, Stephon Diggs, as someone who covered him for 4 years, he never came out and said, I have to have the ball more. He never did that. But I do think if you read that article, a lot of times there's a weightiness that goes along with wide receivers like him to feel like if we're not making him happy, then that's going to happen. And there's a tension that always goes along with that. And I think that can weigh on an organization
maybe
after several years.
Well,
right? There's no doubt.
I
think that is the same thing that you're talking about here.
Yeah. And, if I may, context on this all matters. It's Diggs week. So we might as well get our last, not that it will even be our last shots on this conversation, but the context of if he did that with this group versus last year's group, I feel like that is different. Last year it was Davis, who had multiple zero target games, and that's a Josh Allen point. He did not throw to Gabe Davis, whether there's a lot trust was lost there or whatever. And after that, it's Trent Sherfield and Deontay Hardy. So, if you're forget Diggs, if you are the best receiver in a room, and the room is a ghost town, you might want the ball more versus if it's flush with other options. You know what I'm saying, Sal? Like if he's making a stink about a group that includes Shakir was on the team too, and he blossomed late. Coleman, Shakir, and Curtis Samuel and Diggs. I mean, because right now he is in a room like that where he's not the number one option. So I feel like, and I always like to make this point, I feel like the sin was that he wasn't insulated enough, and that might have been what drove him, part of it, to create that pressure. Like, you guys need me more because of what you've done with the rest of the room.
Yeah, I mean, it's also when you're winning, though, you don't really, like, part of something that was said in that was written in that article was, even if he felt that way, when you're winning, that's not, you know, you don't really, it's not a good look for anybody if you're feeling that way or mm-hmm. talking that way or, you know, saying anything like that. And again, I think that it's a tough nuanced conversation because none of us here, I don't think any of us three are saying anything bad about if you want. I mean, everybody wants the ball and he's great and he should want the ball, right? I mean, like, and it's going to make your team better if you get him the ball. I mean, Davante Adams, it was so funny yesterday. Another media member and I were talking about, you know, Davante Adams, and he pointed out, and I didn't realize this and I didn't remember it. So last year, Davante Adams actually after a game or before a week was at the podium and said, my standard isn't wins and losses, it's greatness. And talking about getting the ball. And we're like, wow, like that's crazy. Like, think about that guy comes here, right? What if Stefon Diggs said that at the podium? My standard isn't wins and losses, it's greatness. The media people would be having a field day and like, oh my God, what is this? He's all about himself. Davante Adams said that. He literally said that last year at the podium. And like that's what I think that context matters. I agree with you. And I'm always trying to think about, look, I know he said that, like, does he really mean that he just wants stats? I don't think he means that. I think what he's saying is, get me the ball and it'll help us win.
Yeah.
Because that's what great people do. Great people are great when you need them to be the greatest, right? I think that's what Davante Adams meant. But when you stand up and say at a podium, my standard isn't wins and losses, it's greatness, it sounds like you're selfish.
For sure. It definitely does. And yeah, like if you're a coach, you might not love that. But, you know, Sal, this is how this works. There are... If you win, your flag flies forever. If you ride somebody that is selfish and he helps get everybody there, then, you know, so be it. I was thinking about this interesting, like, wins and losses and all that. Did you hear Brady on Baker Mayfield?
A little bit. I think you guys might have touched on it. What did he say exactly?
So there was a quote, and this is kind of like adjacent to a receiver wanting his stats, and you know it's all about how you approach the game, and all that matters is really winning. So Baker, there's a quote from Baker on the broadcast of the Eagles and Bucks game where he's talking about how they brought me in, they wanted me to, you know, loosen everybody up and have some more fun. Everyone's having a little bit more fun these days. And Kevin Burkhardt asks Brady about that, and Brady, I mean, he it's the most interesting thing he's said as a broadcaster yet. He launches into that super competitive mode where he said, I thought stress was not winning Super Bowls. You want to have fun? This isn't,
right.
He said, this isn't daycare. So, like, there's Brady, largely regarded as the greatest of all time, saying, he got offended at the idea of someone saying, we're out here trying to have a good time and loosen up. And there's Brady being offended by it. So, you know, it's all in how you approach. There's a lot of different ways to get there. And Mayfield kind of deflected it after the fact and said, like, he did it his way, I do it my way, blah, blah, blah. But I found it a super interesting exchange. And I think it can kind of be applied to, you know, a lot of this receiver talk is, that guy wants the ball. Okay, fine. He's going to annoy me for 3 years. Now I've had enough. But there are years and there are circumstances where that can be utilized for good for your team.
Listen, and bringing it back to this particular team, I'm sure everybody on the team wants the ball. It's just like, it's what the nature of your business, right? It's what you do. You catch footballs and you try to score touchdowns and get yards and help your team win. And at the end of the day, there's also a contract involved and payday and free agency. Like, everybody wants the ball. And, you know, there's going to be times where you're not going to get it, times where you're going to get a little bit more. Sean McDermott yesterday says the ball's going to find who it's going to find. I think that it's incumbent upon the entire organization all the time to balance those things out both on and off the field and massage those egos. And that a lot can go along with that. I think those are some of the behind-the-scenes things that, you know, maybe don't we don't see, even it's there every day. Like, we don't see that and don't know it. And they could have great relationships, but there's always, I think, a lot of, okay, am I, like, does that person feel like they're a part of this as much? I think that could happen in any walk of life, though, right? Which is, you know, you guys have a show, and, you know, if you have, you know, and Josh is a part of your show, and sometimes maybe, Jeremy, you're thinking about, like, well, if I do this, like, am I incorporating Joe enough, right? I mean, I'm not saying you are necessarily, but I think there's a lot of times you can have that in any walk of life, in any environment, but especially in a very, very, very highly competitive atmosphere and environment like professional football. And I think it's kind of natural.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. So Texans.
See, there you go. I said that, and then Joe asked the next question. That's what I mean. Joe's getting involved right there.
Yeah.
There you go.
So Sal, on the Texans side of things, and on Diggs, but maybe from, you know, what's going on with him right now and how you see that and as a challenge for the Bills. How interesting is it to you? And I guess, you know, is it surprising to you the role that he has there? He's number 5 in the league in snaps. Slot snaps, and his average depth of target is the lowest of his career. So, like, he's still getting the ball. Like, he's on pace for over 100 targets. But it certainly looks like Houston is playing him differently than the Bills had for the last couple of years.
I wonder if that, how much is a little circumstantial with Tank Dell's situation. He hasn't played a little bit here. He's been a little bit banged up. I'm trying to look over I'm trying to see if I can get his snap counts from a game to game basis, because I think he's ramped it up a little bit over the last couple of weeks. Sure. I mean, but look, I think he's a different receiver now. He's a little bit older. I mean, Joe, the Bills started using him different last year, right? I mean, the Bills started to give him ball at the line of scrimmage instead of having him go down the field as much. And, you know, that early in the year, there were a few shots that they missed, and I think even one or two late in the year. But I think the Bills even started using him different. They have a different team. They have a different type of receiving core, you know, for sure. But the Bills have played against Stephon Diggs. We asked guys about that yesterday. We asked, you know, Taron Johnson and other guys, like, hey, you know, and Terrell Bernard, you know, you played against Stephon Diggs. They all have, you know, a lot of respect. And they all say the right thing and praise him and how great he was. And Taron said, well, I went against him in practice every day. So it's really, you know, I know how great he is, but I also, you know, it's not anything I'm not used to necessarily. Like, this is, you know, it's only been 4 games without him, without seeing him at practice every week. So, yeah, I do think they're using him a little different. I think it's a little bit circumstantial because of some of the injuries they've had. But I also think the Bills started shifting how they used him last year.
Let's get the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash, for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Speaking of receivers, Sal, Khalil Shakir shows up on the injury report. He and Deion Dawkins, two of the bigger names here. What level of concern when there's no practice on a Wednesday?
Yeah, sorry, I was just looking. I'm just trying to grab the Texans report, too, because I was looking that up yesterday after a couple conflicting things, but we'll get to that in a second. Khalil Shakir has an ankle injury. It popped up during the game. It didn't pop up. He got rolled up a little bit during the game early on. He fought through it. I do think it impacted his game a little bit on Sunday night. So now they're taking it day by day, and we'll see where it goes. Deion Dawkins, during the game, every time he'd come off the sidelines after a series, they were working a little bit, taking a look at his hamstring, but he kept going back in the game. He never left the game. He didn't miss any snaps because of the injury, so there was no official injury report during the game. But we did mention it on the broadcast that was happening, and now it's day by day with him as well, although Sean McDermott said, sure, there's concern he could not play Sunday, but we're also managing it, so let's see where it goes. Austin Johnson, defensive lineman, has an oblique injury. That could be part of the reason they also signed Zion Logue from the Falcons practice squad, although obviously there was an open roster spot after Von Miller's suspension. And then there's one other person I'm missing here, Taylor Rapp, of course, in concussion protocol. He did work off to the side yesterday. Which means he's, you know, progressing at some capacity in the concussion protocol, but we'll see. Good news, Terrell Bernard in a blue jersey, guys, not even a red non-contact jersey. Mm-hmm. That tells me he's trending really well to maybe be able to play. Taron Johnson did practice yesterday, red non-contact jersey, although I will tell you, he did not do any of the contact drills with his position group. Anytime they wrapped up a bag, they hit a bag, they hit each other in a light capacity, he did not take part in that stuff. He did catch passes, though, so I wonder where that goes. He's also wearing a really big brace that's wrapped up from his wrist to his elbow, basically, over his forearm. For the Houston Texans, I say conflicting because I had read that Joe Mixon was going to practice, but he did not actually wind up practicing. Right. He's considered day-to-day. We'll see. It is a Wednesday, so maybe today is a little bit different for him. He has an ankle injury. He's missed a couple of games. Damian Pierce, the other running back there, obviously they have Cam Akers as well, He has a hamstring injury, did not practice. Laremy Tunsil has an ankle injury, did not practice. And then Tank Dell did actually practice, but he does have rib injuries, and he's missed a couple of weeks with that, which is a very painful deal, but he hasn't practiced yet, and yesterday he was limited. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. On Shakir Sal, if he's limited,
yeah,
or, you know, like looking at his role, it's been a lot of yards after catch. It's been playing in the slot a lot, and it's been really maybe Josh's most reliable target through the first month of the season. If he's limited or has to not play for stretches of the game, let alone maybe doesn't play, that's just Samuel at that point, right? Like, I'm trying to think if there's even another guy on the team that would primarily play in the slot, do some of the same things. Maybe Kincaid, honestly, even would be the next name.
Well, I think that's right, Joe. But I think that if that's the case, you might have to consider elevating someone. Is that KJ Hamler, right? Is that Tyrell Shavers that could help out to be able to move someone else? Tyrell's not going to be a slot guy, but maybe you elevate him and put somebody else in the slot a little bit more, like a Curtis Samuel. You know, maybe that's the case. So to me, it's not just, you know, can he play? Will he be effective? If the answer to that is, you know, we're gonna see, and he might be limited. Do you have to elevate somebody from the practice squad? And in that case, you know, like I said, Shavers, Hamler, Jalen Virgil's on the practice squad. It could be anybody, really, but to me, those would be Shavers and Hamler would be the two logical guys. Now, they feel that they don't want to do that, but he's going to play and they go with five, then yeah, I think that maybe Kincaid obviously has to have a little more time there. I think Curtis Samuel can obviously play there a little bit. But that's probably what you're looking at for your options. And then you can obviously flex James Cook out a little bit as well.
All right. Sal Capaccio on the Worcester Hotline. Sal, are we calling it an Adams watch? Should we do it Devontae watch? I mean, or are we just sitting this one out for a little while? Because these wide receiver watches don't tend to happen. Nothing ever happens. The kiss of death is if Von Miller comes out and says, I've made a call. I'm calling Devontae Adams.
Well, he's away for a little
bit. He's away from the team.
No, I don't know if we can call it Adams watch yet because, you know, if you think about like the day in 2012 they signed Mario Williams, that was like Mario watch. Like, he was in the building. Like, they're negotiating. Are they going to be able to get it done? Like, we're on watch to see this. Adams watch is more of like what's going to happen with him. I don't think it's specifically for the Bills yet. Like, I don't think we're to that point. They're just one of the teams in the mix here being reported, at least.
All right. Very good.
So I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I think we need to have something a little bit more than inquiry.
Yes.
Before
yes,
we get to a watch.
Yeah.
It's got to be above inquiry.
Well, this is like a tornado or a hurricane watch versus in warning, right? Yeah. Watch is like, hey, something out there might develop. So I guess that could fit. And then once you know, it's like, oh, okay, we're under a warning here. But so I guess it could kind of fit in that regard.
But only if we have a warning above it. Right, okay. Like we're going to diminish watch a little bit because we're going to introduce Adam's warning, which would be.
I think inquiry is your what's below watch? Well, let's figure out a good word. There's warning, then there's watch. What's below watch?
Advisory.
That's exactly it.
Thank you, Josh.
Advisory. That's exactly the way. You know what? Pat Hammer is listening somewhere, going advisory.
He's screaming like, advisory in his car.
Advisory.
Yeah,
I always felt like it was backwards. And are you sure advisory is below those other two?
I think he's right. I think advisory is the lowest.
Because there's always winter weather advisories and things like that. But then there's like a winter storm watch or winter storm warning. Oh, wait. Maybe warning's above watch.
I don't even know.
Shouldn't watch be above warning? Because
okay,
it's
here
like,
we go.
Hell, the winter storm's here. Now watch it.
A winter storm watch is issued if snow or ice has the potential to cause dangerous conditions in the next day or so.
Yeah.
A warning would be issued if a dangerous winter storm was likely. Advisory issued for weather conditions that don't quite warrant a warning.
Okay, so it's the lowest.
Really.
All right, so it's an Adams advisory.
But Sal's right. That doesn't really differentiate it from watch, though, still, does it?
I don't know. It's going to be 70 today.
We're calling it advisory. Adam's advisory. All right, I'm good with that.
Does it change anything to get the language that Devontae Adams would happily join the Bills?
No.
Okay.
Listen, guys, I've been doing this long enough to tell you that, like, in Devontae's spot here, because you know you want to make sure you maximize what's happening, or the Raiders want to maximize it. Like, there's just nobody any good to not say he wouldn't be happy to go somewhere.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Keep
the options and bidding open. I'm not saying he wouldn't want to necessarily. What I'm saying, though, is I'd be surprised if it's like, well, they're, you know, Devontae's coming out and said, I don't want to go there. It could happen, obviously, but it just, the more teams in the mix, the more it helps the Raiders and Devontae for a rework type of contract or something.
Right, right. The only place we know he doesn't want to play is Vegas. That's it.
Seems apparent, yes.
All right. Thanks, Sal.
You got it.
All right. 803-0550. The reason I bring that up is Ian Rappaport has this list of teams: Saints, Steelers, Ravens, Bills, Cowboys, and perhaps the 49ers are among the teams that have that either have inquired about the six-time Pro Bowl player or are places he would be happy landing.
Okay.
And again, if you are trying to strong-arm the Jets, there's another report out there, they believe that he's just trying to manufacture a trade to the Jets, you'd pick all the good teams. All the good teams want him, and he'd be happy going to a good team if you don't want, if you want to make this happen. We'll get a break in. Our thanks to Sal Capaccio, 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 on WGR.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals at the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
All I know is the players, you could even feel today that closer we're getting to playing a meaningful game, the energy level was real high at practice. I thought all the drills we did were crisp, passing was good, and I don't know if the crowd is really going to play a factor, whether you're home or road team. I think this group as a whole is just really ready to get at it.
Sabres head coach Lenny Ruff, we talked to him yesterday?
Yesterday.
All right.
Got your days of the week clock right
I
there.
Do,
right?
I do. I just didn't remember if it was Tuesday or Wednesday talked to Lindy. We talked to Lindy from Prague yesterday. We've got a new board in here. We're debuting the consecutive days we talked to someone in Prague. Two. We're going to find somebody tomorrow. Brian Koziel is in Prague following the Sabres. He's at the O2 Arena. Is that right, Brian? The O2 Arena in Prague?
Yes, guys. It is the O2 Arena and a beautiful building. Seats about 18,000, and if people want to get like kind of a good view of it, I just tweeted out a video. Sabres are on the ice actually as we're talking right now. Mm-hmm. They're on the ice here, let's see, till 2:15 Prague time, so that would be what, 8:15 your time. They'll be on the, so they're on the ice right now, but a lot of youth hockey teams from the area here in Prague are in the stands cheering and chanting. So I was hearing that soundbite you just played about Lindy Ruff. I'm guessing we're going to get a lot of cheering and chanting because the kids are doing it right now while the Sabres are just practicing and throwing the puck around.
Nice. How's the city? How are you loving it? How's the trip?
It's good. It was really smooth coming over. Flew out of Toronto, got here, and walked around a little. The Prague Castle, I know, is on the must-see list here for some of my sightseeing later today, which I walked by. So I'm going to do that after done here at O2 Arena. But, yeah, it kind of reminds me of just some of the other European cities that I've been to. A lot of obviously public transportation all over the place, but I've seen, I would say, a dozen or so Saber people, you know, jerseys, hats, stuff. I saw a whole group from New Jersey at the plane when I was getting off of the plane, like walking off. They must have had like a group tour or something like that. So there's definitely people that have made the trip for it. I think because it's two games makes it kind of worthwhile to go for here. I think if it was one, it would be maybe, you know, I'm sure still some would go. But because it's two and it's a Friday, Saturday, it kind of makes it easier if people want to come here. It gives you a reason. Maybe you'd never go to Prague, but now you got a reason to go.
Brian Koziel joining us on the Western Hotline. He's from Prague here. Brian, what's right for expectations? Brian's, by the way, if you're not familiar, is the post-game host of the Buffalo Sabres broadcast, also hosts Tee to Green as we're winding down fall golf season. But, Brian, what's the right expectation to have for this team? I mean, they had a great preseason. It went about as good as you could possibly ask for it to go. And they're healthy, knock on wood. Some teams have suffered some big injuries. So what is the right expectation for Lindy Ruff and the change he can bring to this franchise?
Yeah, it's tough to try to, like, calm down the good expectations and the good vibes that we got from the preseason, because there were so many things on the ice that went well, even though, and this is where I'll temper some of it, we never saw the Sabres NHL group versus another NHL group. The first two games that they played back in Buffalo against Pittsburgh and Columbus, it was essentially their minor league group. You know, maybe one or two NHLers that you'd recognize, but mostly their AHL group. And the Sabres dominated those games, but that's all they could do, is go out and play well. And then, of course, they played the team in Munich last Friday and dominated that game. So we haven't really seen the Sabres NHL group versus another NHL group yet. However, I guess what I think has been the kind of the constant theme through every game, even with the Sabres AHL group, is that we're seeing tendencies of Lindy Ruff's making impressions already, and that is with players around the net, players winning one-on-one battles, players playing with a faster pace, much more movement on the power play. Some of these things that I feel like last year that we really, really had at the top of the list of why this team struggled, it seems like at least that's been a constant, and it was with the NHL group and it was with the AHL group. So that must have been obviously the theme and the focus of what Lindy's training camp was all about, because I was probably, you know, seeing so many goals scored around the net. That's something we didn't see a lot of last year, a lot of perimeter passing, especially on the power play. And I feel like that's been maybe the overwhelming, if I was going to make a blanket statement, trend about the preseason, is that they're working hard, they're playing with pace, but, man, they are around the net and they're ready to pounce on anything that comes near them.
Yeah, Brian, when Don Granato took over, it was like, it was good for everyone, right? Like, he unlocked seven different players from what they had been doing before. With Lindy's style in mind and around the net, middle of the ice, like you just talked about, like, who do you envision that's going to be good for? Like, that might unlock Lindy's different way of playing the game versus what they had been doing before. Who is that going to be good for?
Well, I guess I'll start with probably the player that maybe was most disappointing offensively last year, and that was Dylan Cousins, because I think he's a guy that's not afraid to do exactly what you were just describing. And while he's definitely talented to score goals, because we've seen it, I think he can find himself getting his totals up very easily just by kind of taking that mentality of being around the net. So I'll start with Cousins there. Tage Thompson, we know 2 years ago when he went almost near 50 goals, he got a ton of them on the power play, and obviously a lot of them with that one-timer from the circle. And, you know, the players have said it, Lindy Ruff has said it, like, look, the days of just trying to feed Tage for two straight minutes on the power play, like, that's done. Teams know about that. They've taken that away. And Thompson may not necessarily always be on the circle. So I think, you know, maybe him in front of the net, he's a bigger body. Use some of his hand-eye coordination and skill. So I think maybe we'll see a little bit of that from Thompson, too.
All right, Brian.
Well, enjoy the trip.
Yeah. Do we, Lindy's a little more coy with this than others. Do you think we'll see both goalies in the next two games?
So
does that depend how well Luukkonen plays in the first one?
Yeah. I wonder if, you know, I don't think this is a piece of, well, this is a great experience, let's give them each a game because we're here for the global series. I think Lindy's going to play it like, who's going to give him the best chance to win. So, you know, if Luukkonen has a, what do we want to say, kind of an easier night on Friday, then you could argue to bring him back on Saturday. Because the season is fresh, they haven't played a game in a week, and even in that game, he only played half. So, I mean, literally in a week and a half, he's played about 30 minutes of hockey. So,
yeah,
I got to think if Luukkonen plays well and he doesn't have to make like 45 saves, I got to think that the door would be open for him to play both.
I was wondering that about with Kulik in mind. Like, would they try to get him in one of the two games because it's his home country and he might play his whole career and not have another opportunity to play in a game there. But, you know, like you just kind of said, it doesn't feel like that approach is being taken. It is more like, all right, this is the regular season. Like, we got to go here.
Yeah, and I think too. I mean, this is, I don't know. I'm totally grasping at a straw here, but if this was a different, if this franchise was in a different spot, maybe that argument holds more water.
Yeah,
I just think with, hey, this team has gotten off to such bad starts so many years in a row. There's so much pressure for them not to get eliminated by Thanksgiving. I got to think every decision right now is all about what gives them the best chance to win. Yeah. I think Kulik playing is a great story, of course, with it being here and giving Devin Levi the experience to participate. If he thinks, whatever the best lineup is that he thinks to win, I think that's what Lindy's going to go with.
Brian Koziel from Prague. All right, Brian, if you could find someone that we could have on the show tomorrow so we could have three straight days of someone from Prague on, that'd be great. I don't know who it's going to be.
Is Kotalik around? Who's around?
Jarl Spacek.
So who was just in the hallway when I was walking up to the radio booth area? Ryan Miller is here. So
right. Yeah, I saw.
That's interesting.
He was taking pictures with fans, but I hadn't seen like the Sabres say anything about him being there, like in an official capacity. But
yeah, I didn't expect that I would of the people that might be here. I'm like, oh, I wouldn't have guessed him to make this trip, but he is here.
That's new Sabres Alumni Plaza mural figure, Ryan Miller.
Right in the middle, too. Yeah.
Was he on it before?
No.
Hasek. He was not,
right? Yeah, he had to have been, right?
Yeah, you're right. He might have been one of those. Okay, fair enough. All right.
You golfing there?
I got to think he would.
You golf in Prague?
Oh, I am not golfing.
Have you seen a golf course?
I have not yet.
Okay.
But I will search it out. I would assume there has to be something close. Yeah. I wonder how...
I don't know what the golf scene's like in Czechia.
Let me tell you, Brian. Fall golf right now is peak. We are living a good life right now.
Yeah.
This is so as soon as you hit October 1st, then the official unofficial leaf rule kicks in.
That's right.
Is the date.
That's right.
What's the leaf rule? The leaf rule. Like if you lose.
If you lose your tee shot, but everybody in the group is for sure saying it lands right here in essentially what is a pile of leaves.
Okay.
Then
you're good. You're good to free drop. Okay.
Yes. So Golf Digest actually did a story about this. If anybody wants to read it, our T to Green handle T to G Buffalo. I retweeted it from there. There actually is a story of how like legitimately that you can make it part of the rules that it because of the condition. I think it's called course current conditions or something along those lines where you can make an argument that it actually is a free drop.
Well, Brian, you know me. I'll make the argument that we call it the gallery rule, that this should be a rule all the time for amateurs. If the group agrees, then you get a drop because we don't have television cameras finding our ball for us. Or we don't have spotters out there. Why should I be at a disadvantage?
I agree. Yep. Unfortunately, we're not good enough to have spotted team cameras. We got to keep working to get better.
That's right. All right, Brian. Well, thanks very much. We'll be listening and excited for the Sabres season to begin.
Yeah, we're looking forward to tomorrow. Just if I can get two more seconds here. Tomorrow we'll have pregame at noon Buffalo time on GR, and Paul Hamilton, Pat Malakar will be with me, and then of course we'll get you up to face off with Dan and Rob. But I'll be doing intermissions, pregame, postgame here, and they've got a. They've got the radio booths, us and New Jersey Radio, right? We're right next to each other here. We're essentially like at the top of what would be the 100 level at KeyBank Center, so the view is spectacular.
All right.
Awesome.
Thanks, Brian.
Okay, guys.
All right,
talk to you tomorrow, maybe.
Yeah, Brian Koziel on the Western Hotline from Prague. When we get back, building the Bills, and at 8 o'clock, I want to play the Devontae Adams clip that Sal talked about. How he said, my standard's not winning losses, it's greatness. Because it's a full minute 25. I want to hear what he had to say, because maybe the question is, would the Bills think this is the kind of person that could fit in with them? The Adams Watch, Adams Advisory, continues. The reporting is the Bills have inquired and that he would come here as one of the teams he would play for. Is that all just posturing? Quite possibly. Jeremy and Joe, your phone calls if you want to get a thought on this, 803-0550 on WGR.
Time now for Building the Bills, brought to you by Haynes Supply. From our Buffalo roots to nationwide sales and service, we are your industrial contractor supplier.
All right, some good news, bad news on Building the Bills. This is one that not everyone agrees on. Sal posted this. The first section of the canopy is up. It's a roof. It's not a full roof, right? But there's going to be a canopy, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And there it is. First piece of the canopy going up there at the stadium. This thing is a stadium, Joe. You know what I'm going to do? The first day this stadium is open, I'm going to take a GoPro camera and do a fly-through that we still have not seen on the actual stadium.
Wouldn't that be a walk-through?
I guess I'll fly. I'll get a wingsuit. I'll fly. Anyway, building the Bills. The stadium keeps going up. And, canopy next?
Canopy, and then, we're talking about, the outer shell starting to look like a real stadium at some point, I think.
Yeah, you mentioned the next home game is in 17 more days.
Yeah.
From the last time people that went to the stadium saw the new one, in between home games, 4 weeks, basically.
Yeah.
Going to be some pretty significant growth in that stadium. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Okay, Sal brought up a quote from Davante Adams about his standard not being wins and losses. We'll play that for you. And I also tweeted out Joe, I'm so internally conflicted about this whole Adams conversation because, of course, I love receivers, but I'm meh on this idea, which feels wrong for me. I'm very meh, and it feels like I shouldn't be. So maybe you can help me with that. Just conflicted on it. The web polls, 70% of Bills fans want this to happen, and I'm the guy who has a hat about receiver trains, and I'm like, eh. What's wrong with me? What happened to me? You can tell me.
Yeah, I don't know.
803-0550 on WGR.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.